Okay. So the we're still on the sugi here in Gimel and Beis Sadalet of Aleph. There are different, as this is a jam-packed little section. Last week we finished talking about Ksav Yado and Shnar Chavyonim Ibai, for now at least. I think we'll agree that there's more depths to plumb. But now we're moving on to just a different point on the Daf. First something on Gimel and Beis, and then the real main discussion on Dalet Amud Aleph, maybe the most important, or the most famous topic in the Masechta, Rav Elazar, Rav Meir, their interrelationship, etc. So first, let's focus on another issue, the Tosis on Gimel Amud Beis. Let's go to the background first. Again, when the Gemara was thank you very much. When the Gemara was trying to find the author of the Mishnah, who is it that requires b'fanai nechta b'fanai yechtam? And especially according to Rava, as we discussed, who says that the reason for b'fanai nechtam is l'shma. So the Gemara was trying to figure out whether it's Rabbi Eliezer who says Eidi Mesira Karsi, or it's Rabbi Meir who says Eidi Chasima Karsi, and we've been discussing. So Agav, the Gemara quotes this famous Mishnah in the ninth parak, the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, which says that Tznan, here on Gimel Amud Beis, it's quoted, 3, 6, 9 or so lines down, 9 or 10 lines down. Gimel Gittin Psulim V'Mise Savlad Kasher. There are 3 Gittin that are disqualified Midrabanan, but Minatorah, they are effect, it works, it's effective Minatorah. And therefore, if the remarriage takes place on the basis of that get, the child will not be a mamzer. And they are, Kasubik Savyad Aveda Levedim, that's what we discussed the last 2 weeks, the idea of a shtar, or whether it is or isn't a shtar, but a document which is handwritten by the Niskai, that's what we talked about. Or the second case is Yeshal Levedim Bein Mozman, there are Edim signed in this shtar, but it's not a dated shtar. Midrabanan, you require a date in the shtar. That's the Mishnah later on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the second Mishnah in the second parak. And the third one is Yesh Bozman Ve'ein Bo Ela Eidachad. Or let's say you have a date, you have a single witness, but you don't have a second witness. That too is a get minatorah, but not midrabanan. And then the Mishnah concludes, Hare Elu Gimel Gitin Psulim B'Misa Sablad Kasher. And finally, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Afa Pisha Eino Levedim, El Shemisano La Bifneidim, Kasher, Vigovim, Minachasim, Mishubadim, Sheino Eidim Kosim, Malaget, Ela Mifnei Tikkun Olam. However, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that a get does not require any witnesses inside the document. It's enough that witnesses observe the handing over of the text of the get or the shtar, that's called Eide Nasira Karsi, and that too will be a proper get. That's the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph. So among other things, when it talks about Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah says that Av Bishenu Levenim Shusanof Tadeim Kasher, and it adds Vigove Minchasim Mishibadim. That not only will Eide Mishtar be Eide Mishiro, without any Eide Chasima at all, not only will it be effective, but you can even use it to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim, mortgaged property. Which basically means that, let's say, the person who you're trying to collect from, let's say the Isha gets divorced from the husband, and now she wants to collect her Ksuba. And let's say the husband no longer has unencumbered property. He doesn't have Nechasim B'nei Chorin. But after the time that he married her, in other words, after the commitment period of the Ksuba, he did own real estate, and he subsequently sold it. So the Isha can grab, she can seize that property from the subsequent purchaser, and that's called Gviya Menachasim Mishubadim. So if there's a get, even if that get is Be'ede Mesira, not Be'ede Chasima, nonetheless, there can be a collection by the Isha from Nechasim Mishubadim. Now, is that all that we mean to say for Rabbi Eliezer, that the Gviya of the Ksuba can take place based on a get Be'ede Mesira? Or is this a more general principle that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that a shtar De'edei Nesira is the equivalent of a shtar de'edei Chasima when it comes to dechasim mishabadim. For example, what will be in the case of not a ksuva, not a get and a ksuva, but a single document, a shtar milva. I lend you $100, right? And I do so with a shtar. Right? You owe me $100, and I have the contract that says that you owe me $100. Now, if you cannot or will not pay me when the debt is due, can I collect from the chasim mishubadim, even though there are no signators in that contract, as long as there are edim who observe the handing over of the contract, or not? In other words, is there gviyam and chasim mishubadim in a regular case of shtar milva? What's the difference? The difference is that in the case of a get, you might say that all the Mishnah is telling us is that this is a proper get. Once it's a proper get, the ksuva is in effect. Why are you govim nechasim b'nei nechasim mishubadim? Not because of the get. The get triggers the validity or the effectiveness of the ksuva. You're collecting from the nechasim mishubadim not because of the get, but because of the ksuva. The ksuva could be a regular document. For all we know, it has edim chasumim in the ksuva. Either way, the ksuva is a different kind of document. Anyway, it's a tanai bezdin. Right, even if you couldn't find the ksuva, you might be able to collect from the chasim mishubadim. So ksuva is an unusual case. But what we want to know is, let's say the gviyam and chasim mishubadim is dependent only upon the effectiveness of the shtar with edei mesira, where there's no signed witnesses at all. Would that also work or not? That's the question. So the truth is that this is an issue that the Rashbam contends with on another sugya. I didn't bring my sheets today because I don't really need them so much, but on the sheets we have it, Bava Basra, Kufayin Vav, Omid Aleph. If you recall, Tosis is going to quote it anyway in a second. The Gemara there had a suffix. The Gemara there says, the Mishnah there says, Kasa b'ksav yado, or Hotzi k'sav yado. The Bezdin, if you produce a handwritten text document that says you owe money, so govim in a chasim b'nei chorom. You can only collect from unencumbered, not from mortgaged property. That's the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, maybe if it was miskayim bebezdin, if it was verified in bezdin that it was really his ksaviyad, it was really his handwriting, maybe then you would be govim in a chasim mishubadim. That's the Gemara's safek. Right, that's what we have in the sheet. That's Gemara and Kofayin Vav Min Aleph. Then the Gemara says, after all, the Gemara says, no. Verifying doesn't do anything. It doesn't add to the quality of the contract. It just establishes that it's not a forgery. But this is a limited, this ksav yado is limited. It can't be govim minchasim mishubadim. So the Gemara asks, why not? Why is it worse than the situation of Rabbi Eliezer? And the Gemara there, in Kofayin Vav, Bava Basra, quotes the end of this Mishnah that's quoted here and that has its origins on Pei Bav Min Aleph. Namely, doesn't the Mishnah say that there's Gviyam and Chasim Mishubadim based on a shtar Be'edei Mesira? So when the Gemara says that, the Gemara assumes two things. Right? Number one, it assumes that we could equate Ksav Yado, a handwritten document, with a shtar Be'edei Mesira. Number two, it assumes that a shtar, the Edei Mesira, has the ability to generate Nechasim Mishubadim. And that it's not, even though the Mishnah's case happens to be one, seems to be one where we're talking about a get, which then triggers the ksuva. The ksuva is what triggers what generates the Nechasim Mishubadim. But apparently the Gemara didn't see it that way. So in the end of the sugya, when the Gemara explains that you can't compare these two. So the Gemara says you can't compare Edei Mesira to Ksav Yado. After all, there are Edim in the case of Edei Mesira. And Mishas, and then there are two Girsos in the Gemara. One is Mishas Ksuva, right? From the time of the Ksuva, he was Mischayev himself. That's one Girsa. The Girsa that the Rashban likes in Bava Basra is Mishas Ksiva Shibed Bod. So this is the two days of Tosos, basically. Those are basically two ways to understand the Gemara's answer in Bava Basra. One way to understand it is that all the Gemara is saying is How can you compare these two things, Iksav Yad and Ashtar Beit HaMesira, are two different things? And the Rashbam actually goes further and says, Ashtar Beit HaMesira is no different than Ashtar Beit HaChasima. It's like the Eid HaMesira. It's almost as if they were signed inside the document itself. Can't compare that to Iksav Yad? That's the case. What the Gemara is really saying is, in Akanami, Ashtar Beit HaMesira can be Govim and Chasim Mishupadim, and Iksav Yad is just not comparable to Ashtar Beit HaMesira. Then you would have the Girsa of Mishas Ksiva. On the other hand, the other way to read the Gemara is, what are you talking about? Do you think that Ashtar Beit HaMesira is Govim and Chasim Mishupadim, and since it's equated with Iksav Yad will also be Govim and Chasim Mishupadim? That's not what's happening in that Mishnah at all. What's happening in that Mishnah is that there's a get and there's a ksuva. The get tells you that now is time to pull out and to use the ksuva. But you don't have a ksuva in the case of a Iksav Yad. So even if you could compare Iksav Yad and Ashtar Beit HaMesira, that wouldn't lead us to the conclusion that you can be gove minachasim mishubadim based on either Iksav Yad or Ashtar Beit HaMesira. So depending on how you read that Gemara in Bava Basra, right, we come to the conclusion that either there are Nechasim Mishubadim based on Ashtar Beit HaMesira, or no. And that's what Tosfos basically says. Now I'll be able to read it quickly. This Tosfos, V'govim Nechasim Mishubadim. If you look at Rashi first, Rashi says, V'govim Nechasim Mishubadim, Govek Suvasa Begedze Nechasim Mishubadim. So Rashi takes a clear view on this matter. If there's a get, so then that triggers the effectiveness of the ksuva, and the gviya minachasim mishubadim is based on the ksuva. The tzam b'ksuvas hotzia get the eni maksuva. Even if you produce a get and there's no ksuva, since we know that there is a ksuva, we just can't find the document. Go v'ksuvasa lishnachrina. Another explanation of Rabbi Eliezer's view in the Mishnah is that go v'minachasim mishubadim im shtar milvahu go v'minachasim mishubadim. Forget about ksuva and a get. Even if you were dealing with a loan contract, you would be able to collect from leaned property straight based on the shtar Beit HaMesira. Why? How do you get that from the Mishnah? Because shtar chov nami kari get. Kedomer ba'alma, the get called shein v'achrayus. Sometimes the word get and the word shtar are interchangeable. That was the first Tosfos, if you recall, in the Masechta. Right? And maybe get, avagav l'shar shtaros pamim nami kara get, kedetan ba'shaleach, enei mechos ma get amapnei tikkun olam, bari b'chol shtaros, aperkes kabel, v'chein l'gitin. Right? Sometimes the word get means shtar. So the second way that the Rashbam is suggesting to read this Mishnah in Peivav is that if you have a shtar, even a shtar milva, you'll be govim minachasim mishubad. So that's what Tosfos brings out. Tosfos says, govim minachasim mishubadim, lashon sheni pirsh v'kuntris im shtar milvahu, govim minachasim mishubadim. The second shot of Rashi is that a shtar, Beit HaMesira, can be used to collect mortgage property. The chenir of the Rabbeinu Tam Iker. Yeah.
The chasim shibadim are things which are mortgaged, or the chasim shibadim are things which have a lien attached to them, so that if you sell them, they can still be collected from.
In halacha, we view those two as the same. It is mortgaged by virtue of the fact that there's an automatic lien.
And it's only on karka.
Only car. We'll discuss that in a couple of minutes. This is a massive topic, Nechasim Shabbat, but in practice, generally, it's only in car. We'll explain why. There's one explanation in a minute. The Chen Yol Rabbeinu Tam Ikar. This is Rabbeinu Tam basic view. The Afilu B'Shar Shtaros Gova Be'edei Mesira Minachasim Mishabbat. Even though there's nothing other than a piece of paper and the observation of the two Eidim, but nothing in ink, right, from the two Eidim, you can still use it to collect from that property, and it's considered an effective collection of Nechasim Mishubad. Kinemashim Perik Basra, Tamarav Halacha Krablaza Begitin Ubishar Shtaros Lo. Vaktani Vigove Minachasim Mishubadim. The Gemara says, what do you mean? The Halachas like Krablaza are only in Gittin. But the Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar's halacha, and it speaks about Gevia, Minachasim Mishubadim. So it sounds like the Gemara thinks that the Gviyam and Chasim Shibadim in the Mishnah is a reference not only to Gittin, but to Shari Milva. Alma Rabbi Lazar Ayrinami Bishar Shabbos. The Kasha Tosfos says, if this is the case, then the Amar Beperket Pashut, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, the one we talked about before, Huksa Ksav Yad Bebezdin Mahu. If the Ksav Yad, the handwritten, right, document appears in Bezdin, what's the date? Pirish Mahu Sheyigva Mimashabdi. Can you use that Ksav Yad to collect? The Gemara there tries to make a proof to Ksav Yad from Shtar Be'edim Mesira. Umishani, then the Gemara answers, Shiny awesome, the Kaksuba, Mashma, the Dafka Beget Iri. Only with a get, because the get isn't what's Govim and Chasim Shabbatim. The get makes relevant the Ksuba. The Ksuba is Govim and Chasim Shabbatim. Below Bishar Shtaros. So then he points out, the Rajbam Garas Hasam, the Rajbam had a different gears on that Gemara. Instead of Mishas Ksuba, Shiny Hasam, the Mishas Ksiba, Shibed Navshe. Meaning, Pirush, Kishanichta Bashtar, when the star was originally written, a star beta Masira, as opposed to a Ksav Yad, when you originally write the star with the intention later that you're going to hand it over in the presence of the Edim Masira, Nichtav Kedei Lemosro Bifnei Edim, Sheyehu Edim Masira B'makom Ede Chasima. What you had in mind to begin with is not that it's a blank piece of paper, or that it's a piece of paper which is going to be disconnected from the Edim. The Edom are only going to observe. You wrote it with the intention that the Edom will observe, and that their observing will be viewed as linked with the Shtar itself. That'll be Edi Ashtar, like Edi Chasima. It's very important that the Rajbam says, She Edi Nasira B'makom Edi Chasima. And therefore, Havet Kol, he's worried about Kol. Since the Rajbam doesn't mention Kol there, meaning buyer beware, since there is, This transaction is connected to the writing not only of a Ksav Yad, but a Shtar, which will be, right, handed over in the presence of Edim. That produces a call. That, you know, is something that the potential Lokeach will hear about, and therefore is a kind of buyer beware. Ki'ilu Edim Chasumim, as if, same kind of call as Edim Chasumim. But early in the Gemara, what they wanted to know was Huksa Ksav Yad Bebezdin Umasa Beino Levein Atzmo. There's no Edom at all in the case of the handwritten document. V'lo Niskaven El Lahoda V'lo Lasos Shtar Shiyelo Kol. There was no intention to create a Shtar with a Kol. Of course, the language here is particularly important because of the work that we did the last 2 weeks. Namely, what is a Ksav Yad? It's a, you know, an inferior Shtar, or it's not a Shtar at all, or this is Hodos Baldin. All the various permutations. The Hasam Lo Yoel, I feel it's Chazik Bebezdin. If you talk about Ksav Yad, there's nothing you can do to make a Ksav Yad into a real Shtar Be'edin. Therefore, there's no Nechasam Mishubadim. However, Shtar Be'edin Mesira is a real Shtar, Ki'ilu Edea Mesira, Chasumin Heim, Betoch Hashtar. For Rabbeinu Chananel Pirish, Rabbeinu Chananel had a slightly different take on things. Tahid to get Pashut, Pliga Yidim Agarish. Rabbeinu Chananel said, listen, the Gemara of the Basra should be read Mishas Ksuva, and it implies that Shtar Be'edim Mesira is not Govim and Chasam Mishabad. But our Mishnah on Pevavim and Aleph, that implies that it does apply to Nechasam Mishabad. Because Machlokas HaSugya is whether or not Shtar Be'edim Mesira is Govim and Chasam Mishabad. It's Machlokas. Upasak Rabbeinu Chananel, Sheish Lismok Ahi, to get Pashut, below Magbin and Beidim Mesira, Elim Ibn Nechor. If it's a Machlokas, then you have to take sides. What are you passing on? So Rabbeinu Chananel said, I think it's a Machlokas, and I think that you're not Kove Minachasim Mishabad. Whereas the Rajbam's interpretation, the second shot of Rashi, basically say, even the Gemara Bava Basra believes that there is Gviya Minachasim Mishabadim in Shtar Beidim Mesira. If you have a shtar which was produced by non-Jews, but it was handed over Edi Mesira in the presence of Jews, the Gemara says, let there be Gviya Menachasim Mishabadim. So again, it sounds like Shtar Edi Mesira is Govim Menachasim Mishabadim. What's Rabbeinu Chananel going to do with that Gemara? He has to square all the evidence. The Mayri b'chassimi alei sadeh v'kakobin hediotos There's a special status of Arkos. Arkos maybe is Gova Menachasim, Mishubadim, and therefore the Gemara didn't mean that the Shtar Be'edim Mesira is Gova Menachasim, Mishubadim. It meant since there's a Shtar Be'edim Mesira, that gives greater stature to the Arkos, and the Gviya is with the Arkos. Begam milashon hakodesh, just one more second. Mochiach lekaman de lo gavim mishabdi ela de'ede chasid. Yeah.
What about exudu mishabdi?
So that's a good question. If you would have exudu de'ede mishira, so from the perspective of shtar, it would be identical. The only thing is that, as I mentioned before, there are views that, you know, because Ksuv is a kind of Tanai Bezdin, therefore it's a rule breaker. You can be Govim and Akasim and Shabbat no matter what.
Even without
a star at all. Even without a star at all, some people say if you have, for example, an oral commitment, Hatzvasit, Sororit, if you have an oral commitment on a Ksuva, because it's a Tanai Bezdin, you might be able to be Govim and Akasim and Shabbat anyway.
So you could have a get with Eden Seer. And the
Ksuba
with no
Edom
at all.
In theory, some people think. Not everybody. But if you operate not on the basis of the Shtar, but on the basis of Tanai Bezdin, then maybe that would be. Tanai Bezdin is, you know, Kiksuvan, Kimsurin, you know, those kind of perspective. Okay, so what we have here then basically, this is a very, very important argument. If you have a Shtar Milva, a loan document, the Edom Nesira, right? The question is, are you gove, can you be gove, minachasim, mishubadim, or not? Now, of course, there's an assumption here. And that is that you can have a shtar milva be'ede mesir. Part of the end of the sugya here in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and later on in Pebav, and other places, is the question, how do we pass them? Do we pass them like Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Meir? Pass them like mesir karsi or nechasim karsi? Even if we pass them like Rabbi Eliezer, as the Gemara says here, it's possible that we're going to limit that psak to gittin. And some Rishonim say, it doesn't mean gittin, it means shtare kinyan. Then the question is, what is a shtar milva? Is a shtar milva a shtar kinyan or a shtar raya? Meaning, I lend money to someone and there's a contract. What kind of contract is that? Just a piece of evidence? Or is it responsible for creating the kinyan? As we explained before, in other words, the Mishnah says in Kiddushin, Karka, Niknes, Begimel, Drachin. Three ways. Kesef, Shtar, Kazak. So if you acquire a piece of real estate with Kesef, right, but you write a Shtar, then the Shtar is only a Shtaraya. Because you're not effectuating the change through the Shtar, you just documenting it with the shtar. But if you choose not to go the kesef or the chazaka route, but shtar is a kinyan route, then you're talking about a shtar kinyan. Now we want to know is, in the context of a milva, what role does shtar play? In context of gittin, in kiddush shtar kiddushin, shtar is mostly a shtar kinyan. Right? Karka, it depends which, you know, how you effectuate the kinyan. What about milva? So the Pashtus one would have thought that Shtar Milva is a Shtar Raya. Because you can have a Milva Alpeh as you can have a Milva Bishtar. Right? If I lend you money, you still owe me the money, even if I didn't do it with a contract. What that proves is that the Matan Mos, handing over the cash, triggers your obligation to repay me. So if that's the case, where does the Shtar at? So on the surface, it's a raya, nothing more. However, and this is really where the whole issue comes full circle, maybe that depends whether there is or are mishubadim, and how mishubadim really work. Because there is a difference between milva b'shtar and milva alpeh. Actually, there are two differences, as we discussed last week. Shtar chov yadi my buying. What do you mean?
You have to pay back the edom.
You mean the shtar of Yadavar of Chaim? Yeah. Okay. I mean, again, is that is that the cause, or is that peripheral, additional, consequence or byproduct? So that's part of the. There are two differences between Milva Alpeh and Milva B'Shtar, as we discussed last week. One is shtar of Yadavar, right? Whether or not you have to pay in the presence of witnesses, whether or not you're believed when you say you paid already. And the other one is nechasim v'shabadim. So are those byproducts, or are they, you know, some sort of a kinyan? This would be a very important question. It is an important question. It's connected to this issue. So my point is as follows. If we're talking about the role of a shtar, the Eidim Mesira, shtar milva, the Eidim Mesira, and whether it's govim, nechasim, and shabadim or not, first we have to establish that there is such a thing as a shtar milva, the Eidim Mesira. Because maybe it's only gittin. And maybe gittin has a broader meaning, namely shtar kinyan. But is shtar milva really a shtar kinyan? So this would be an interesting and an important question. So basically, what is this argument, these two deos, whether shtar the Eidim Mesira is govim and chasim and shabadim or not? Okay. So to explain that, I think we could explain it in several different ways. Minimally, we could just take two approaches. The argument has to do with either the role of or the fact surrounding call. We mentioned a bunch of times there's this kind of buyer beware idea. Namely, if I'm going to sell property, real estate, so how is the purchaser supposed to know that that I let somebody else, that I borrowed money from someone, and my property is implicitly leaned or mortgaged to the repayment of that loan? How's he going to know that? And if he doesn't know it, is it fair to seize the property from under him when, in all good faith, he thought he was, involved in an ironclad, deal without any kind of qualifications? That's the principle of kol. So the Bali Tosis already make reference to it. Maybe the difference between milva al peh, I'm sorry, one of the differences between milva al peh and milva b'shtar is kol. And maybe that difference carries over to the distinction between shtar be'edei chasima and shtar be'edei mesira. Shtar be'edei chasima always has a call because the names of the witnesses are signed into the document, into the contract. It makes more of a roshem. It makes more noise in the community, right? They have to go to court. They have to sign it. The guy has it. And it's signed, and that makes an impression. But shtar be'edei mesira, maybe there's no kol. That's what the Rashbam, that's what the Bali Tosis for the Rashbam were alluding to. If kol is a prerequisite for shibudim, maybe there are no shibudim in a shtar milva be'edei mesira. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that the argument revolves around the extent to which we take the Rashbam's formulation seriously. The Rashbam, when he wanted to explain the difference between Ksav Yad and Shtar Beit Mesira, said, well, Shtar Beit Mesira is really not much different than Shtar Beit Chasima. Just because the Edom aren't signed in, doesn't mean they aren't Edi Ashtar. They're Edi Ashtar. They're Mitzurah to the Shtar. They're integrated into the Shtar by their presence, if not by the ink, and the John Hancock, that actually physically binds them to the document. So maybe the point is, you need not Edim on a shtar, but a shtar be'edim, in order to generate nechasim mishubadim. The argument is, do we look at Edim Mesira as a kind of Edim Kasima? Look, that's the language. Rashbam, I'm reading it secondhand here, but he really says this. And do you have it in the sheets? You can look it up there. But that's the language that Tosis quotes here accurately, which is, again, one more time. Shehu edei mesira b'makom edei chasima. V'hava kol ki'ilu edim chasumim. That's what the Rashbam doesn't mention the kol part. V'hava ki'ilu edim chasumim, which makes it even more powerful. I think I mentioned earlier in the year that when the in the discussions of Eid Echad b'shtar and Shnayim edim, so there are two Tosafot. One is Tosafot in Bava Basra, Kufsam Mechetzim Bet Aleph. The other is Tosafot in Bava Basra, Tosafot in Ksuvos, Daf Chafo Bet Aleph. Each one is very important to this topic. If you look at them, they talk about the equation between Edei Chasima and Edei Mesira, but in opposite directions. The one in Bava Basra, I think I have them correct. Could be I'm mixing them. The one in Bava Basra sounds like that Rajba. He says, after all, Eidim Nesira are just like Chasumim B'Toch Hashtar. Tosig Suvas, Tav Chafam Nal, says the opposite. Even the Eidim Chasima, they're like, it's as if they're there B'Shas on the Seir. Two opposite formulations. So it could be that the debate, maybe for there to be Nechasim Mishubadim, it's not enough to have a piece of paper and Eidim, you have to have a shtar shall aid him. The argument is, are Eidim Asira shtar shall aid him or not? More likely than these two is that there's a third issue at stake. And that's what we were alluding to before. And that is a shtar milva a shtar kinyan or a shtar raya? If you assume that there is such a thing as shtar milva the Eidim Asira, so basically you're already conceding that the role that the shtar plays is that of a kinyan, not of a raya. Because as we've said, number one, right, maybe Rabbi Elazar is limited to gittin, and gittin doesn't mean gittin, it means shtar kinyan. But that's not just arbitrary, there's a very good reason for that. Namely, in shtar beidim esira and shtar beidim chasima, we have two completely different models of a contract, as we've discussed. According to some Rishon, shtar beidei chasima is a raya, right? That's why it's inconceivable to have a piece of paper, and call it a shtar unless the witnesses are signed inside. Because if they're not signed inside, there's no raya. You can't tell other than if you drag the edim to court. If you need to drag the edim to court, there's no raya. From the piece of paper, you can't tell. There's no raya that this is anything other than somebody's fantasy. Or a game. So for there to be chefta shel raya, what do you need? Eidei chasim. On the other hand, if you're focusing not on raya, but on the act of kinyan itself, as we've discussed, so then that's shtar beidei nesira. Because you need the witnesses to be present at the critical moment when the kinyan begins, which is the time when you have the changing of the guard, the handing over of the document. So for very good reason, when we say maybe Rabbi Lazar's din is limited to gittin, if that really means shtar kinyan, the explanation of that is Rabbi Lazar's idea, shtar edim esira, is more matim, it's more appropriate for the principle of kinyan. The idea of shtar raya is more conducive to Rabbi Meir's idea, namely the idea of shtar be'edei chasima. So now, if we ask ourselves the question, and what about shtar milva? So as we said before, it seems on the surface like a raya. But if it's a raya, then maybe Rabbi Elazar's halacha doesn't apply at all. Right? Because where's the raya when you just have witnesses standing there, but not pending their signature to the document? Now, if already you think that shtar beidei nesira, right, works in shtar milva, maybe the reason for that would be because we look at shtar milva as a shtar kinyan. But how could that be? As you said before, shtar milva is not necessary for milva. The milva can take place without the shtar. Just hand over the money. The matan mos is a kinyan. What does the shtar add? So now the point is, what it adds, perhaps, is shihudim. But not as a raya, but as a kinyan. In other words, let's step back for a moment and think of two possible ways to understand Nechasim Mishubadim. One way is to look at Nechasim Mishubadim as they are in one respect, and that is a backup or a guarantee of payment. Not a new creation. If I make a commitment, so the idea of Shibudim is, my word, is backed up by my assets. If I'm going to be good to my word, so then everything I own, my wherewithal, right, should also stand behind my commitment. Is that a separate kinyan? Not necessarily. That flows from my personal commitment. I have a shibud haguf, to use a term that Rabbeinu Tam made famous in a different context, a personal obligation, and my shibud nechasim, right, the monetary power that I have secures or reinforces my personal obligation. That perspective is reflected by the concept developed in the Gemara in the very end of Masechet Bava Basra, where the Gemara says, Nichsi debarinish inun achroyin varvoyin zelazeh. A man's property serve automatically as a guarantor for for his other transactions. Meaning, your money is a backup, it reinforces your commitment. No separate kinyan, a kind of arev, kind of arvus, but an automatic arvus. What is arvus? A guarantor, somebody who's, there, a safety net, in case you need it. That's one way to look at shibudim. Looking at shibudim that way, so the way to understand some of the special dinim of shibudim are, what are the special dinim of shibudim? Let's say, take the two most prominent. Number one, the limit to karka, which you raised before, right? Why is it that you only go over minachasim, b'nei minachasim v'shibudim, but minachasim that are, real estate, not nichsi d'naibi? Again, I'm not talking about all shittos, but the practice, let's see, of shibudim, where we say it's not govim metalkalin, it's only govim akark. The answer is, because that's part of the raya, that's part of the backup. There's a certain betichos, a certain security that real estate gives you that mobilia does not. I can hide my assets if they're metalkalin. I can't hide a piece of real estate. So what is it that backs up my commitment in a fundamental way? Right? Those assets that I have that are obvious, that are accessible, right, that cannot be camouflaged or hidden. Why is it limited to Nova Vishtar? There's also a debate whether that's true d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, but let's say l'halacha. Again, because the Vishtar is a security, all this is consistent with the backup idea. It's all a backup. It's a backup because it's there and it can't be hidden. It's a backup because there's proof and you can't squeeze out of the obligation by saying paraiti or lola visi. There's a shtar. So if there's a shtar and there's real estate, that's a deadly combination. What's that combination? A combination of your obvious assets, backing up your verbal commitment. However, there's another perspective, and that is that's not the way to look at shibudim. The way to look at shibudim is the way that the Ritva in Masechet Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel describes shibudim in a very famous comment that was picked up by the Achronim. Chatzi kinyan. What does that mean? It means that when you call it a chatzi kinyan, it's not something way down the road, a security net. What it means is, I borrow $100 from you, and in lieu of that, I make a commitment to repay you, and I give you, in the present, some sort of a partial ownership in my real estate. Why not for real estate, according to that perspective? So what are we talking about? A real kinyan. A kinyan in the present, not just an automatic security of the loan. So basically, what that means is that when a loan takes place, from a shibudim point of view, two things happen at the same time. Number one, there's a matan mos. I give you the money. That triggers your obligation to repay the money. That's one thing that's happening. And at the same time, what else happens? There's an immediate quasi transaction, kinyan, on the real estate that I own as a backup. You now own, now again, I own it more than you own it. So until it's time for you to collect it, I can do whatever I want with it, mostly. There actually is a debate in the Gemara. Right? The Gemara talks about, and talking about Laman Aleph, Laman Aleph, Rav and Abaya debate whether Balgov Lumafreya Hugova or Mikano Lhaba Hugova, which many people see as being connected to this issue. In other words, when somebody's going to collect from mortgage property, is that only Mikano Lhaba from now? Or do we say, oh, in retrospect, this money, this object is always coming to him, and the nafkamina would be, what if something was done with it in the interim? Let's say it was given to Hekdesh, and so on and so forth. That's a debate between Rava. We pass the Mikan Laba Ugova, but there is a view of me, Lamafreya Ugova, and it's very consequential. But the point is, two things take place in Shibudim. One thing that takes place is the Matamos, as we discussed, and the other thing that takes place is the quasi Kinyan on the Shibudim. But where is that? I mean, how is that accomplished? Karka is Niknes, Bekesa, Bechazaka, and Beshtar. So here it's easy to say, that's what the Shtar is for. And that's why Shibudim are limited to Karka. Because you can't acquire Metaltalin that way. This is the other perspective. According to the first Pshat, we were saying Shibudim is a natural backup. Right? And that's why it's Dafka real estate. The Shtar and the real estate are both aspects of the what we call the Betichus. It's only going to apply, you're only going to get a safety net on this kind of transaction if it's a transaction in which security is kind of built in. So that's one perspective. But according to this perspective now, we're talking about a second kinyan that is simultaneous to the matan mos. That kinyan is shtar. And that's acquiring dafka real estate, karka.
How can the same piece of land be sold twice then?
Because it's not, it's a quasi-kinyan. That's what I was saying before. In other words, even the view that says, you know, l'mafreya hugova, will agree that you can sell it until you seize it. So once you seize it, igloi mil l'mafreya, then it was always coming to him. But no one will deny that, let's say the guy pays him back, that you can sell it. That's why it's a quasi-kinyan, not a kinyan gomor. But you're right. I mean, it's a question, at least. But it's on a different plane, essentially. So, if that's the case... So now let's get back to our question, our issue. In fact, before we get to our question, let me illustrate it in one more way. There's a major debate in the Gemara whether Shibuda Daraisa or not. Which basically means, let's say there's no shtar. Minat Torah... When I engage in a transaction, let's say a loan, take the easiest case, is there an automatic backup of Nechasa Mishubanim or not? That's the debate. Shibud Daraisa says that even without a shtar in a Torah, a transaction is secured by property, by the real estate. And Shibud Alav Daraisa says that unless you write a shtar, there is no Shibud. The Gemara, in a couple of places, has the following principle. Ein nishbayim al kfir ashibu karkos. Meaning, if you have a milvah b'shtar, and therefore there's nechasim b'shibadim, so you cannot force the other party to take an oath, take a shvuah, on that claim. Normally you would be able to, because since there's Gevim and Chasim and Shabbatim, right, and that's real estate, you would end up then you're taking an oath, a Shvua on Karka, and Einish Boim Ala Karkos. Whatever the reason, that's a rule in Kol Shemish, but Einish Boim Ala Karkos. You don't take Shvua, you don't take an oath on real estate. So the Bali tells us, in a bunch of places in Shas, ask a very simple question. Right? It tells us in first parak of Bamitzia, and Tosin Shavuos, and Tosin Kitten, a bunch of places, Tosin Ksubas, ask the following simple, famous question. According to the Mandamar Shibuda Darais, which means, I lend somebody money, right? My real estate is going to back up my commitment, right? And now this is a dispute between us. I say, you know, I lent you $100. And he says to me, not true, it was only 50. We call that Motiv Mixas. Motiv Mixas is one of the three Shavua Daraisas, right? Normally you would take a Shavua. But if you hold Shavua Daraisa, asks Tosis and Bab Mitzi and elsewhere, so then there's also Nechasim Shabbatim at stake. Right? So in Shabbatim Akhir, Shavua Kakos, you just destroyed one of the three Shavua Daraisas. Wow. Right? Good question. So Tosus gives very dochic answers to this question. Oh, we're talking about a case where there was no real estate, in Okanami, if there's real estate, and it's going to be Nigba, Menachasim, and Shabbatim, there would be no Motiv Miktas. We're talking about a case where there's Mechila. We're talking about the case where the guy has more than one piece of real estate, and some of it is obviously Bnei Chorin at the time. All sorts of answers. But what's the basic assumption of the question? There's no difference in the quality of the Shibudim between Milva Vishtar and Milva Alper if you hold Shibuda Doraisa. Because in both cases, sof, if you can't pay your loan from your unencumbered property, what's going to happen? He's going to be able to collect from the lien. Since in both cases he can collect from the lien, what difference does it make whether that's based on Milva Vishtar or it's based on the psak of Milva Alper Shibuda Doraisa? In both cases, you start off trying to pay him. You know, you can't be Govim and Chasim and Shabbatim as long as you have access to Bnei Chorin. First, you have to try to collect directly from the fellow himself. And in both cases, if you can't, you have the security, the backup of the Shabbatim. So since that's the case, it's a very legitimate question. Whatever the Gemara says is a problem on Milva Vishtar Shibudim, is an equal problem on Milva Alper Shibudim if you hold Shibudim Doraisa. That's the assumption of that whole school of thought. The Ramban in Shavuos, Taf Lamed Zayin, and Reb Chaim, who doesn't quote the Ramban, but says almost exactly the same thing, in two places, in Perek Tazayin, Ochos Ishus, and Perek, either Zayin or Tes, I forget which one, I always mix them up, Zayin, of Hilchos Shavuos, pretty sure it's Perek Zayin. So, Reb Chaim and earlier the Ramban have the following answer to this question. They say there's a qualitative difference between the Shibudim that results from Milva Bishtar and the Shibudim of Shibuda Doraisa and a Milva Alper. What's the difference? Basically, the difference that we spoke of just a couple of minutes ago. Milva Alper, Shibuda Doraisa, there's no extra trigger. Right? So what's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is, listen, if you make a commitment, you stand behind your commitment, that means everything that you have stands behind that commitment as well. Including your financial resources. Now, does that mean that the other fellow has a quasi-kinyan, or at the moment he has a kinyan? Not at all. In your property, in your real estate, not at all. It means that So, if you can't pay, then he can collect. It's a kind of nitzide bar inish inner nachrayin varvayin zelazeh. But as far as that is concerned, I'm giving you the short answer. Both Ramban and Reb Chaim explain. You're not going to say, "Oh, there's a dispute about the obligation." If it turns out that he's chayiv and he can't pay, you're going to be able to collect from the chassan mishabatim from real estate. So inish boy valakarkos. It's too far, it's too distant, you know, from the main event right now. Because there's no kinyan on the karka now. There's no shibud lemaisa right now. I mean, there's no, you know, din Torah over the nechasim v'shibadim. The nechasim v'shibadim are down the road secure. However, says Ramban and Reb Chaim, if you're talking about a milva bishtar, right? That's a different story. That's a kind of a kinyan. Immediately, it targets, because not for the shtar, the milva alper would not include nechasim mishabadim. The shtar creates an upfront kind of quasi kinyan, as if to say, "Oh, this is, you know, standing by, you know, as a potential source of gviya of collection." That's the case. Then if there's some dispute, the dispute doesn't only center around the original claim, it also centers around the upfront collection options, which include the real estate. So you're willy-nilly making a shvua on karka, and then ish boy about kfir shvua karkos. So when the Gemara is worried about milva bishtar, they invoke this theory. when we would be speaking about shibudim that would result from milval peh, shibud deraisa, there's never a concern for this problem.
What if you hold the kala of all good?
Well, the Kadol Abahu Gova is...
It shows that the Shibud comes into play later on.
Right, but it doesn't mean that that's Lamaisa. Again, that doesn't mean that there isn't a quasi-Kinyan and it isn't on the table now. It just means that the actual Bailus... Now, it's in the competitive struggle between the real owner and the person who holds the lien, you know, should there be no other method for him to collect, in that struggle, right now, the owner of the property, Yado Al-Yona, he's in good shape. And even the Mafreya, it turns out that he, at that time, was the superior force. That's all it means. It doesn't mean there's no Khatzi Kenyan. I mean, we pass him to Kadu Labah.
Yeah.
And nonetheless, the Ritva calls it a Khatzi Kenyan. So the point is, it's more relative to the other guy. It's Mikanu Lapa. He has more rights. He's the real owner, and I have a stake. My stake doesn't compare to his ownership in decisions that are going to be made about the fate of this karka in the interim period. Until you actually collect it, even though you have rights of collection, even in the present, he can do what he wants with the karka. That's pretty much what you were asking before, right? About two people... owning or selling the same piece of karka. Now, what does all this have to do with us? So now let's get back to our question. What do we ask? Number one, we really ask two questions. Number one, Shtar Milva is conceivable by means of Eide Mesira, not Eide Chasima. What if we draw the line and we say that Shtar Eide Mesira is limited to Shtar Kenyan, not to Shtar Raya? And in what sense can one speak of milva, right, shtar milva, as a shtar kinyan? After all, milva alpeh, milva b'shtar. The milva, either way, is triggered and mechuyev to be returned. That was question number one. Question number two is the question, and how would it work that there would be gviya minachasim shibadim based on the shtar milva? That's the two deos in the Rashbam, the two days in Tosus, right? When you have a shtar, the Eidim Nasira, is there or is there not Gviya Minachasim Mishabadim? So even if you were to concede that somehow there is shtar, the Eidim Nasira for shtar Milva, how can there be Gviya Minachasim Mishabadim? Right? But now we understand very well. It depends on how you look at Nechasim Mishabadim. If you look at Nechasim Mishabadim in the Milva B'Shtar the same way that we look at it in Shibuda Daraisa, namely, it's the same idea of Shibudim, namely, it's a down the road, you know, collection option, should the issue, should it be necessary? But in the present, right, there's nothing. It all flows from his Shibuda Gun. His money backs up his commitment, all of his money at the present, no matter what happens to it. Later on, you might have to invoke that. There's no problem of Enish Boy McPherson Shibud Karkos, and by the same token, we don't look at him as having, perhaps, a Kinyan in the Shibud. So, if that's true, not only for Milva Alpeh, Shibud Daraisa, but also for Milva, the only difference between Milva Alpeh, Shibud Daraisa, and Milva Vishtar is that we pass in, you know, that either on a Darbanan or Daraisa level, there's no Shibud in Milva Alpeh. So we shifted the whole idea to Milva Bishtar, only when it's in Milva Bishtar because of the Betichus and the Raya, then and only then will there be Shibudim. Now if that's the case, it's very hard to understand how Shtar, the Eidim Mesira, is going to be a basis for Gviya Minchasim and Shibadim. However, if we take the view that there's a huge contrast between Milva Peh Shibuda Daraisa and the Shibudim of a Milva Bishtar, the Shibudim of a Milva Bishtar are triggered by a Kinyan Shtar, not just the Betichus of the Shtar. So then, we understand two things. Can there be a Shtar Milva of Eidei Mesira? Isn't Eidei Mesira reserved for Shtar Kinyan? Answer is absolutely. That is a Shtar Kinyan. It's a Shtar Kinyan on the Nechasim of Shibadim. And that's how it works. The reason you're gova is not because of the betichos and the raya. It's because you made a kinyan, a shtar kinyan, like the Mishnah and Kiddushin, right? The karkas nikneis v'gimel drachim. The shibud of the karkas also nikneis in that way. So now we understand why you could be gova minchasim mishibadim through a shtar edei mesira. Okay, that's one point. Let's start the next point.
What role does coal have in a Yolchibu
Daraisa? Well, if Yolchibu Daraisa, Midaraisa, there's no requirement of coal. Right? Because there is no coal. Shibu Daraisa, Milba, Alpe. It's only Midrabana, and then the question is, what does it mean on a Midrabana level? Is that something additional? Or is that the way of saying Betichus? What exactly is it? Briskers have a lot of trouble with kol. Because they conceptualize, like I've just said, that this question of how shibudim are triggered, and it doesn't leave so much room for kol. Let's say it's an additional factor. I remember in my days in the Rav Shir, somebody once said, but what about kol? The Rav was not happy. He said, don't bother me with kol. Okay, but yet, obviously, it requires a better response than that.
If it shows up, it takes 3 years to get a
call. What? Well, that's a different kind of a... that's a different kind of a call. But right. Okay. Anyways. Okay. So that's to sum up. There's a debate whether Shtar Beit Mesira is Govah Menachasim Mishabadim. I think there could be three different perspectives on that debate. Number one is the question of call. Right? Number two, which Tosfos himself bring in. Number two is the question of whether Eidei Mesira aren't themselves a kind of Eidei Chasima, which is how the Rashbam really sounds in Bav Basra. And the third issue, and that's the question of the Gersos, Mishas Ksiva, Mishas Ksuva, etc., is whether or not Shtar Milva is a Shtar Kinyan or a Shtar Raya. If it really is a Shtar Kinyan, then the point is that we would look at Shibudim not as a function of the Raya of a commitment, but as a separate Kinyan, and then this would allow for Shtar Beit Mesira to be effective. This is part of a much bigger topic. How do you look at Nechasim Shibudim, which obviously requires much more, but these are, Rosh HaKrok. Good. In the end of the Gemara here says, on Dalet and Aleph, which we read already, that we found the author of the Mishnah maybe in Rabbi Yehuda. Right, the Gemara says, Amani Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Ashi Amar Amani Rabbi Yehuda. He, this is 1, 2, 3, 6, about 8 lines down, 7 or 8 lines down. It's not Rabbi Yehuda post-lodge takes Sivasa v'chasimasa v'talosh. Rabbi Yehuda requires both Ksiva and Chasima, considers them both to be critical moments in the Gittin process. The Haraya, both of them have to be v'talosh. They have to be in a state where there's no attachment to the ground. So why did the Gemara work so hard to find a Tana when they have Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, Rab Meir is the author of Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is not. You have the Stam Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta. We'd like to connect it to Rab Meir. We paskin like Rabbi Lazar. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. We'd like to connect the Mishnah to a position which is normal. Fine. So Tosa says about the Kaimel and Halakha Krav Elazar Begitin. Tosa says, Mishum, the Mayri Hacha Begitin, Nokad Gitin. Because we happen to be talking about Gitin here, because we're talking about the question of Panayakta, that's why the Gemara says that we paskin like Krav Elazar in a matter of Gitin. However, says Tosa, don't be misled from this Gemara, which some people were, to say, oh, we only paskin like Krav Elazar Begitin. We actually paskin this way in Shar Shtaros as well. As I mentioned before, some people say the compromise view, which is what we mean by Gittin isn't Gittin, but it isn't Shar Shtaros or all Shtaros, Kol Shtaros either. Rather, there's a difference between Shtar Kinyan and Shtaraya, and then occasionally you have to figure out what is a Shtar Kinyan and which is a Shtaraya.
Who says that?
Who says that? Rishonim, the Ramban later on, and Pevav, and some of the other Rishonim. Avagav the kolam aroid the lekaman sabak rab Lazar tafke begitin kaimelon keshmuel bedini The polyg kaman and the rav the kamer af the shar shtaros. Fine. The od, moreover, the perik zaborer kavi matanta the hava chasim ale tregisi is a matana which is there's a shtar matana, there's a contract for the gift, and on it is written or on it are signed tregisi, two brothers-in-law. So Kamer said zil akne beedim esira kravlanzi. He said, no, what's a big deal? And forget about the edim achasumim. Hand over the contract in the presence of witnesses, and it'll work according to Rabbi Eliezer. Baruch Le'abayev, Amar Abba, Mod Rav Elazar Mezuyach Mitocho, Shu Pasol. How can you do that? Even Rav Elazar agrees, if it's Mezuyach Mitocho, and if you have Eidim Chasumim, they have to be proper Eidim. That's, our Gemara has that here too. We still have to go back to talk about that in this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Mashmad Rav Yosef Abayev, Amar Batsroi, Samar Rav Elazar, even though we're talking about a Shtar Matana, and not a Shtar Gittin, right? So there are different places to draw the line. Gittin is one. Gittin, Shar Shichror, and Kiddushin, which are all, kind of learned out from each other, is the second place. All Shtar Kinyan is the third place. Shtar Matan is a Shtar Kinyan, right? Pirkei Nami Amar Rababa, Haishtar Parsa, the Master Nehali Ba'apisad, the Yisrael, a Persian Shtar, a non-Jewish Shtar, which is handed over in the presence of Jewish witnesses, Magbinim Be'im B'nei Chor. Lefikach Tzarech Lizayir, now Tosa says, since this is the case, namely that we do paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, the Edim Sira Karsi, this is very, very important. Now, Lefikach Tzarech Lizor Shu Edim Sira B'Shas Nesinas again. The Inhu Karsi. You better be careful, since this is the way we paskin, that when you give a get, that you have Edim Mesir. The Elek Hashem Edim Mesira Eina Megureshes. Because if you think that Rabbi Elazar's din of Edim Mesira is an alternative, namely, in case you don't have any chasima, you can then do it the Edim Mesira, that's incorrect. Afagav, yik Edim chasima. Even if they're Edim chasima, you need Edim Mesira, because they're the only ones in our cards. V'lo mahani Edim chasima, ela shim yamusu, Edim Mesira, yochal helem dinas hayam, shatinasa Edim chasima. I the Gemara Mishnah here on Pevav and Mishnah on Lamed Balad Omid Beis says that we sign in a get Mipnei Tikkun Olam. We've discussed this already, and the Gemara explains on Lamed Balad Omid Aleph that that means is that if you only had a Shtar Edim Mesira, so then if the Edim were no longer accessible, since you don't have anything in the text, let's say the Baal, it's a forgery. How are you going to document the get? Right? So that's why if they tikkun olam, they suggested that you should have the edim sign. So Tosafot says that's only mishum tikkun olam. But it doesn't help you if all you had were edim chasima, not edim nesira, it wouldn't help you for the gerushin. Aye, but if that's the case, how do you ever know when you have a get and mishum tikkun olam, they signed it, and it's produced in Bezdin now. How do you ever know that there were Edim Mesira when the get was given? All you have is a get and signatures. But according to what Tosis is saying, which is that if you pass through the Garbi Eliezer, Edim Chasima don't work, only Edim Mesira work. How did the Edim Chasima establish that there were Edim Mesira? It's a very good question. We'll see, if we don't see it today, we'll see it next week when we pick up with this. That is the Rif's main proof that this is wrong. The Rif says, even if you pass it like Rabbi Eliezer, the Edim Mesira Karsi, it's either Edim Mesira or Edim Chasima. Because otherwise, how can the Edim Chasima serve as Raya if they don't serve as Kenyan? How do they serve as Raya that there were Edim at the Mesira to establish the Kenyan? That's Rif's Raya on Lamed Vav, and again on Pei Vav. We'll read it inside. Bali Tosas are responding directly to that now. So what they're saying is, "V'lomahani edik hasima help only for raya. Ela shim yamusu edim esira yochalam dinas hayam shetinase aidei edik hasima. And you'll be able to get married by means of the edik hasima. The mistama behechsher nasa. That's the answer. Mistama behechsher nasa. When our edim chasumim, right? We read into that edus." Everything was good. Whatever you need to get through, It was done properly. What's that based on? Well, that's the idea of shtaros that we talked about, right? So several times already. Reish Lakish. We'll just have to see whether it's so simple here. Nasa commission acroids of the Bezdin. Right? Maybe the Edom were ktanim. Maybe there's a gun held at their head. Right? Maybe it's a forgery. Maybe it's a shtar amana. The guy wrote a shtar just in case later he needs the soap from go on strike and he wants to borrow money, but it's not a real shtar. Maybe. What's the answer? Reish Lakish. Where you could produce a star and there are written signatures on it, and that's the principle of Reish Lakish. So what Tosin is saying here, the answer to the Ritz question, namely, if you think the Eidei Chasima alone are insufficient, how can the Eidei Chasima be a raya? After all, what do the Eidei Chasima know about whether they were Eidei Mesira? And by the way, it's more than that. It's not just that, as we've explained many times, they don't have to be there at the time of the handing over at all. So it's very possible that even if you were to find the Eidei Chasima and bring them to court and say to them, by the way, were the Eidei Mesira there? They might say, there? What do you mean there? Last time we saw this get was in the hands of the Baal. How would we know? They might know, but that would be only a coincidence. They don't need to know. What? No. Medina Sayyam is a different story. That's why we want them to be Eidei Chasima. But what I'm saying is, let's say they weren't in Medina Sayyam. Let's say they were living next door. We know them. We see them every morning. So we ask them a simple question. They're the Eidei Chasima. Let's say they weren't the Eidei Mesira. Baal Yitzchak says the Eidei Chasima who signed Tikkun Olam, at least the Chathila, should be the Eidei Mesira. But let's assume it's not that way. Bill and Bob from next door, hopefully they're not related to each other or to anybody else. So they're the Eidei Chasima, right? But we know they weren't the Eidei Mesira. Maybe it was Jim and John, who were off in the Medina Sayyam. So I say, Bill and Bob are hauled into court. We don't need to haul them into court. We have their signatures. But somebody says, fine, that what does that prove? That when the shtar was prepared, when the get was prepared, that they signed. But how do we know that there ever were 80 Mesira? Never mind kosher 80 Mesira. So let's say, they actually live next door. We'll call them over. But for all we know, they don't know anything. How's it going to work? Where's the Tikkun Olam? That's the Ritz question. The Ritz says, if you hold that the Eidei Chasima also can serve as Karsi, so they don't need to be made about some Eidei Mesira that they don't know anything about, then it's a good Tikkun Olam. That's the Ritz's strongest right. But what is Tosfos' answer? No, Akav Akshanasa. Because how do we ever know about Eidei Chasima that they're made to be Machshir the Shtar? There could always be 100. There could be 100 other problems. As we said, Amona, Ktane, Manusim, Mizuyev.
If the husband comes to court and says, I didn't give her the Shtar.
Right.
And you don't have Eidei Mesira.
But you have Eidei Chasima?
Yeah. Would he have to pay the Tzuma?
Yeah, Eidei Chasima, that's Eidei Machsuma, Shah, Nasa, Kamisha, Akaris, and Bezin. Now, if it's Medina Sayyam, we might require Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam, that's part of that.
Right.
But that, if it was an Eretz Yisrael, maybe she couldn't remarry without, Midrabanan, but until that point, that's also a question. But
I would think she could remarry. We're saying that it's currently, but we're saying if the husband comes to court and says, no, I never gave him the
star, right,
she would be able to collect the Tzumah.
Right, what I'm saying is, unless if it was before I nekta, before I nekta.
Right, but she would have then, to bring the Eid of Asira, because it wasn't a Chavera Lavaraya, she'd have to.
No, what we're saying is, as long as there's before I nekta, before I nekta, or Kiyum.
That's the one. The
but if all you have is Eid of Asira and there's no before I nekta, before I nekta, then you might have to.
I didn't give it to Eid of Asira, but if he comes in and says, I prepared it. And it was signed, but I never gave it to her.
Who says that?
The husband says.
And how did she get it?
And lost.
But they're Eidei Chasima. We don't believe them. That's something else. But I'm saying Minat Torah, we don't believe in any of those things. Because that's a Reish Lakish. That's a Mizuyah. That's a Tanya. That's a Gemara in Gimel Halacha. Gemara says if he claims it's Mizuyah, Minat Torah, Kim Shtaros is only Rabbanan. Minat Torah is no requirement. Now the Rambam says differently. The Rambam says if he claims that the whole thing is a forgery, then there needs to be a defense, Minat Torah. that defense can either be before Nineft or before Nineft Dam, or Kiyum Kol Samos, or verifying the signatures of the Eni Chasim. But, you know, yeah. Okay, so this is what Tosa says. Hakol B'Hekshar Nasa applies not only to Amana and Mizuyef and all these things, but even to the presence of other witnesses, which they themselves, the Eni Chasim, they're inadequate to accomplish this get. Right, the only adequate witnesses are Eide Masira. They can attest. The inadequate Eide Chasimas, I'm formulating it this way so you could see why it's a little bit different than where the vulnerability comes in, why the Rif is upset. The inadequate, the Shtoros inadequate Eide Chasima can be made about the Mistama presence of Eide Masira. Sometimes they dine, they're traveling. This idea that Eide Chasima do not work, according to Rabbi Eliezer, only Eide Masira, is also implied by Gemara later on. Where the Gemara says, two people, same name, right, send again. At the same time, to two different women, also same name. Then it's Arbu. The Gittin gets mixed up. So then the Gemara says, no sin shteyem luzu, shteyem luzu. Each guy can deliver, can pick up each get, and say, you know, give it to the Isha. One between one of the two Gittin, we know it's my get. Right? So miman of shach, there'll be a gevurshin. The Gemara says, the loker Rabbi Elazar, originally the Gemara thought, but this can't be for Rabbi Elazar, it can only be for Rabbi Meir. Why? Mishum v'layadi, Eide Masira, v'heminayu, v'garsha. Because where's the Lishma, the Eide Masira? No, each time, they're not sure. They know Mimanashach, but they're not sure each time. So that's a lack of Lishma. The Gemara had Havamina that the Kasav is Lishma, and also the Masira of Eide Masira, and the Masira has to be Lishma. And the Gemara said it's not so. But what Tosis is trying to prove is, when the Gemara thought there's a requirement of Masira Lishma, right, and therefore if you give both Gittin, it's not going to work. Havel Rab Meir Nicha, but it works according to Rabbi Meir. Right? Albeit, according to Rabbi Meir, Tzar Chomer the Mishma Shinairi, that there's maybe, you have to have Ruvain ben Shimon ben somebody else. The by the way, Meir Shimuchu Mitocha. Rabbi Meir is enough for another problem. That's that the get has to be Muchach Mitocha. Okay? I mean, it has to be, as we've discussed, it has to be a self-sustaining document. You can't, there's no outside or external augmenting of the information. Now here's this right. What did we say? That according to Rabbi Elazar, maybe you need Masira Lishma. But if it's true that according to Rabbi Elazar, Eide Chasima work too, and this would work for Rabbi Meir, and you have Eide Chasima here, so forget about the Eide Masira. Just operate with the Eide Chasima. If they work for a mayor, shouldn't they work for Rabbi Elazar? Amai lo asya ker Rabbi Elazar. Dal Eide Masira ma'acha the Eide Chasima sagi. All you need to do is operate with Eide Chasima, not Eide Masira. Ella mashma de liolam boy Rabbi Elazar Eide Masira. It must be that the reason that that's not true is because Rabbi Elazar exclusively believes in Eide Masira, not Eide Chasima. They're only good as Raya. They're good as Raya in an expansive way, but they're not good as Kenyan at all. Okay. Then finally Rabbeinu Tam says, V'od Rago Rabbeinu Tam Lomar, Filo Rabbi Meir Boye Eide Mishas and Sinus again, Dein Dover Shem Rebbe Pachas Mishnah. We'll get back to that. Meaning, even Rabbi Meir says Eide Chasima Karsi, still requires Eide Kiyum, we'll discuss this, but we'll have to discuss it a little more, in the handing over of a Ket, he requires the presence of witnesses, not for the Shah, but for the Gevurah. The Shahr is fine without the presence of witnesses. Okay, that's Tosis. This is the view of Bali Tosis, Rashi Tosis, all over the place. Which is that the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir is mutually exclusive. Rabbi Meir doesn't believe in Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar doesn't believe in Rabbi Meir. Eide Chasima work as Raya, only as Raya, even though they don't work as Kenya. What's the proof? All the Gemaras that seem to say that Rabbi Eliezer, in some cases, will be more machmir than Rabbi Meir. How could he ever be more machmir than Rabbi Meir if he believes in Eide Chasima Karsi too? Let him always opt for the root of Eide chasim occurs. That's the Balei Tosfos, all of the Tosfos. The Chachmei Sfarad, the Rif, the Ramban disagree. They're strong, the strongest raya of the Rif is this Tikkun Olam Shtar Raya thing. And the Rif says, if indeed they're inadequate from a Shtar point of view, right, as Eide Chasima, then they should be inadequate as a from a Raya point of view as well. We'll explain. We'll try to explain that. That's point number one. Point number two is in the Gemara. Gemara here says, Modra Belazar b'mezuyaf mitocho. Belazar said that there's some problem with the ksivas aget and the chasimas aget, right? That's ma'akev, even though Eidei Mesira Kars. This is not the Ha'ara of the Rif, this is the Ha'ara of the Ravid. As far as I know, he's the first one to say it. The Ravid says, if Eidei Chasima meant nothing for Rabbi Eliezer, other than Raya, then why would we care that there was Mezuyah Mitoch? So we need to analyze all this. That's point number two. The question that the Baal Amor, who was like Tosfos, asks against the Rif is, well, according to you, Rif, that Bein Rabbi Lazar, Bein Rabbi Meir, they both work according to Rabbi Lazar, why did Rabbi Lazar say Eidei Mesira Karsi? He should have said, Af Eidei Mesira Karsi. Right? Even Eidei Mesira, but also Eidei Chasima. In addition to the other questions that Tosfos asks, Dal Mehacha, why don't you always go with Eidei Chasima?
Isn't that the
Girsa of the
Rif?
No. It's not his
Girsa.
He doesn't, no. He just says that Eidei Mesira are Ikar. That's his answer. But, some people, when they try to explain the Rif, they say, oh, Eidei Mesira, because that's a short way of saying it. But he doesn't say it at all. No. So we'll analyze this argument, Mir Hashem, next week. I'll try to give some Makoros, but also everybody should bring the Shas Gemaras, because this is very important. Most of the Makoros here are in the Rif, and the Ran, and the Ramban in the back, on Pei Vav Mid Aleph. So that's really where most of the Makoros are.